Turn to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis 21. Let me read verse 9. Well, let me just start in verse 8 down to verse 14. And the child grew, that is Isaac, and he was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Abraham loved that son. This was a great trial for Abraham to have to cast out Ishmael. You know, I'm sure in his mind he's thinking, none of this is Ishmael's fault. This is not, it's like, Sarah, this is not their fault. This is something we created this problem. Sarah was, she was just angry over Hagar, her son, over Hagar's son, making fun of Isaac. And, you know Ishmael got that from. Remember when Hagar became pregnant, Sarah saw that she was despised in her eyes. So, our kids pick up on things. They pick up on attitude. And he was just carrying his attitude right on. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken to her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman I will make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. She departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, we know how this all began. Sarah and Abraham trying to move along the purpose of God, the promise and purpose of God. Sarah has Abraham to go into Hagar. She becomes pregnant. She has this child, which is Abraham's child. And it just turned out to be a problem right from the beginning. Right from the beginning. And here, after Sarah has Isaac, the promised son, and they have this feast for him, to honor him. Now, Abraham is, this is my son. This is my son. And Ishmael, no doubt, is jealous. He's jealous, he's envious, because Isaac is getting all the attention, and it's evident that he is the favored son, and he starts to make fun of him, taunt him, cause him trouble, and Sarah just gets, this is the mother, she just gets upset. This is her son. This is her son that God gave her, a special son. Son of promise. Now, that's the story. And you wonder, why did God let all this happen? Turn over to Galatians chapter 4. Now the story, we're going to pick this story back up now, and we're going to see that this story, this event has a purpose. It has a purpose, and there's a story in this. There's a gospel message in this story, and why God let this happen. Now, at that time, Abraham, Sarah, And all the people involved in this, they didn't understand and know that this was going to be a gospel story come out of this. So now you look over in the, like I said, Galatians chapter 4. Look in verse 21. Now we're going to have an allegory. See, this Paul is going to take this allegory and he's going to preach a gospel from it. He's going to point out the difference between this bondwoman and Sarah, who's the free woman, and the promised son, and the son who was just he was just born from the flesh. He just flesh. That's all it was. Now, an allegory is taking people, places, and things and giving their symbolic meaning. There's truth here to be had. Now, Paul, over in Galatians, you know the story of the Galatians. Someone had come in and tried to turn them from the gospel. Someone came in and preached another gospel. Paul said, which is not another. And he said, if anybody comes preaching another gospel, let him, even if it's an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. Now listen, let's pick up verse 21. We don't have time to look at all of this, but look in verse 21. Paul says, now tell me, you that desire to be under the law, you want to go back under the law, you want to go under the ceremonies, you want the old priesthood, the old sacrifices, do you not hear the law? Do you not hear what the law demands? See, the law demands perfection. The law demands that you do everything perfectly. Don't you leave anything, not right down to the jot and tittle, don't you leave anything out. Now, you sure you want to be under the law? Are you sure you want salvation to be by works and not by grace? Tell me, you that want to be justified, is what he's saying. You that want to be justified by the law. For it is written in the scripture, and I just read it to you, that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Now, if you notice, Hagar is never said to be the wife of Abraham. She's always the bondwoman. She's always the slave. She's never free. She's never the wife. She's always the slave. And the slave will never produce an heir of heaven. Those under the bondage of the law will never inherit the kingdom of God. And never will. Ishmael's birth was natural. It was all flesh. That's all it was. Right from the get-go, it was nothing but flesh that conceived the ideal of it. And it was nothing but flesh that was conceived. It was just all flesh. That's all it was. The scripture says, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But now Isaac was a son by promise. Isaac was a son by a miracle. It took a miracle of God. It took the work of God for Isaac to be born. Abraham and Sarah were way past the age of childbearing. God had to miraculously, maybe, I don't know if this is the best way to put it, but he had to miraculously reverse nature. Because they were way past the age of bearing children. His conception was supernatural. It was the work of the Spirit. Their ability to have children was gone, but God's ability was not gone. You know, God's ability to save is never gone. God can save whom He will, when He will. No one is past God's ability to save. He can say. But here it says here, back in verse 22, it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. As I said, that was all flesh that conceived that boy from From start to finish, it was all flesh. But he of the free woman, Isaac, that was by promise. God promised to Abraham he's going to have a son. And then a year before this happened, before she had this, God, the Lord came and he said, this time, at the time of life, this time next year, Sarah's going to have a son. Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. But God's promise is going to stand, right? God's promise is going to stand. He promised them a son. They're going to have a son. You're going to have an heir. But he of the free woman is by promise. You know that everyone here that believes, every person here that believes the gospel, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a son by promise to the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father promised you to God the Son before the world began. You are children of promise, as Isaac was. And you know that your birth, being born of God, had nothing of flesh in it. There's nothing natural about it. It's a supernatural work of God in your birth. And he says in verse 24, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. They represent, what he's saying, these two, Sarah and Hagar, they represent the two covenants. The covenant of works that came from Mount Sinai and the covenant of grace, which is from heaven. These represent, he said, the two covenants. Hagar represents that covenant of works, and it leads to bondage. It leads to bondage. You see here, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which genders or leads to bondage. It can produce nothing but bondage. Hagar was never free. She was always the slave, always the servant, always. Ishmael, born by a woman of bondage. It leads to bondage. That's all the law can do. You know, if a person wants to, and he, listen, this, there's more of this in us than we realize. There's more of a legalistic spirit in us than we recognize. It's there. You just feel like you got to do something. It's there. It leads to bondage. We're all born with such a legalistic spirit. Alice, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She represents that the law, the bondage, and the servitude that the law demands, that's what she represents. And I thought as I read this, they didn't see this when this was going on. Abraham and Hagar and Sarah, they didn't see all this. But the Lord's hand was in this. Even though what they did was sinful. What Sarah and Abraham did was sinful. Yet God took that. He allowed that and took that to preach the gospel to us here in our day from that situation. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is the Jerusalem right now. That is over there in the Middle East. Is under bondage. And you know what he's saying here? He's saying that the Jerusalem that now is, they are the children of Hagar. They are the ones, they are under bondage. They didn't want to let go of the law. They held on to that with a death grip. They didn't want to let go of that old priesthood. When the Lord came, they rejected him. They wanted nothing to do with him. They wanted nothing to do with him as the high priest. They wanted nothing to do with him as a sacrifice, nothing to do with him as the son, the promised son, the seed of the woman, and the promised seed that was to Abraham. They wanted nothing to do with it. They wanted to cling to that old covenant of works, of earning salvation, of earning acceptance before God by what they did through their ceremonies and their sacrifices. You know, and if you go and read in the Gospels, it speaks of the Jewish Passover. You know, it used to be called the Lord's Passover. Back when it was instituted, it was called the Lord's Passover. And you start reading it, it's in the Gospel, by the time it got to that point, it was called the Jewish Passover. Instead of the Lord's Passover. Anyway, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. They're not free. They're not free. They still reject Jesus Christ. Go over and try to preach the gospel. Go over to that Arab world and try to preach the gospel. They cut your head off. But you go over and preach Moses. Go over and preach the law. Go over and just preach all those ceremonies and types and pictures. And you'll get along just fine. Go over and preach works and you'll get along just fine. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Let me read to you what I got out of Henry's commentary on that. He says here, Paul describes the covenant of grace in Christ, our mediator, our representative, our sin offering. The messianic kingdom of Christ is from above. It's from the kingdom of heaven. When our Lord spoke of the kingdom of heaven, when he spoke of the kingdom of God, he wasn't speaking of some earthly physical kingdom. He was speaking of the new Jerusalem, which is above, which is the church. The righteousness is in his obedience, not ours. Its redemption is in his sacrifice and satisfaction, not in the obedience not in the ordinance of the tabernacle, which they serve daily. Its access to the throne of God is through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, not that old priesthood. They did not want to let go of that old priesthood. That's the thing Paul was dealing with in Hebrews. Many of them was wanting to draw back to that old priesthood, draw back to the old sacrifice, draw back to the temple. They wanted to draw back. But you and I know. We know by the grace of God that we cannot be saved by anything that we do. We cannot be saved by any law that we keep. We cannot be saved by any ordinance. We cannot be saved any other way than by Jesus Christ alone. And we know that the covenant that God has made with us in Christ is a covenant of grace. All of grace. Not one thing at any given time that I do or can do ever enters into my acceptance with God. Aren't you glad of that? Seriously, aren't you glad of that? The thing we understand that the Jerusalem that now is, he's speaking of, and those who are under legalism, the thing we understand that if salvation were not all of grace, we wouldn't make it. We wouldn't make it. We can't keep one command. Adam was given one command. One. Now listen. Adam was given one command and it was given to him when he was in a perfect state. And he couldn't keep it. We are in a sinful state. A wretched state. And you go read all those commands. Adam couldn't even keep one in a perfect state. Why would I think, other than just being dead in trespasses and sins, but why would I think that I could keep all the ordinances and all the commands of God? Here's another thing they didn't understand. They did not understand the depth of the command. Thou shalt not commit murder. And but if they thought, well, I've never killed anyone, so I'm okay. Then the Lord comes along. The Lord comes along and he says, to hate your brother without a cause is to commit murder. I said, oh, now that's different. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I've never committed adultery. To look upon a woman, to lust after her, is to commit adultery. It's guilty. You know, everything starts in the heart. This is one thing we have to understand. Every sin starts in the heart. Now, I may not bring it out into action because of trouble. You know, like, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get locked up. I don't want to get caught. I don't want to, you know, And that's why a lot of people, they're what's called law-abiding citizens. Because they don't want to get in trouble. It's not because it's not in them. They just don't want to pay the price. But then the Lord comes along and he says, you know, hate your brother without a cause. You know, look on what he does. He gives the spirituality of the law. And whenever the Lord saves a person, that slays us. Because you realize guilty. You realize I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that. I don't know if you've ever done it. I have. I've been reading. I read through Leviticus here lately. I've read through Deuteronomy. And I've read through some of these, a lot of these commands and stuff. And I'm telling you, I'm thinking, I'm glad salvation is all of grace. You go read it. Take some time to go read through those books. All those things you think, well, I'm so thankful for salvation. All of the grace of God. It never rests on me at any given time. Ever. Ever. In verse 27 in Galatians 4, for it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travails not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Sarah was barren for 90 years. God had closed up her womb. She's not going to have one son until God says so. Until it is time for her to have that son, that promised son. And then God's going to open her womb at 90 years of age. She's going to bear a son. And who would have thought? She says earlier, back in that chapter, who would have thought? Who would have said to Abraham, you're going to have a son at this age? I mean, when it looked like there was no way possible that this elderly woman is going to have a son. Now listen. Look at all that over in the Arab world. Where'd that come from? All that came out of Abraham and Hagar, and then Abraham and Sarah. All that came from there. Isaac had Jacob, and then, you know, then from there it branches off. And you just look at that over there. When you look at Jesus Christ, the promised seed of the woman, the promised son, that's one person. But through him now, heaven is populated with the people, the scripture says, that can't be numbered. That can't be numbered. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, verse 28, are the children of promise. I am preaching this morning, and I believe this. I am preaching this morning to children of promise. Children of God. I'm preaching to children of God. What a privilege and what a responsibility. The under shepherd of God's children. You know, you don't leave your children with just anyone, do you? You don't. You don't just drive down the road, knock on the door, and say, won't you keep him for a few hours? You don't do that. No, you don't do that. You never leave your children with anyone except someone you have complete confidence in. Now, I'm not saying God has complete confidence in me. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying, I am saying that there is a real privilege in what I'm doing here, as well as a real responsibility. But there's a real privilege in feeding the Lord's children, being the under shepherd. You know, we have to take that seriously, because we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. You're children of promise. You're children of promise. You're God's children. But now listen, as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. It will not change. That doesn't change. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. There'll always be a battle. There'll always be a battle between legalism and free grace. Always. And Satan is so subtle. Satan is so subtle. And Paul said they'll come preaching another gospel, and Paul said they'll preach another Jesus. Who wants to save you if you'll let him? He loves everybody, and he wants to save you. Now, if you'll just let him, if you'll take the first step. Satan is so subtle. And then when you talk about free grace, and when you talk about God choosing a people, Christ died for that people, they get so upset. I tell you why they get upset. Because it offends that legalistic spirit that they have. And we got to do something. God's done all we can do. Now you've got to do the rest. And there's something you've got to do. You've got to do the rest. You've got to do something. He's done his part. Now you've got to do your part. Your part is accepting him. Your part is, brethren, my part is the sinning part. He's the Savior, I'm the sinner. Henry said one time, he did the saving, I did the sinning. And there'll always be a conflict in you. There will always be a conflict, a battle in you over free grace and works. You'll battle that. As convinced as you are of it, there'll be time. There'll be time. It'll rear its ugly head. And it'll always be there. Even so, it is now. It doesn't go away. Nevertheless, what says the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Don't give in to her. Abraham, it says, it was very grievous to him. It's very grievous to him. You know, we saw last week in the message in Matthew, he said, I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. And a man's foes will be those of his own house. And, you know, the mother against the daughter and the son, the father against each other. And it just, but grace and works can't mix. And except to agree, they can't walk together. Now, you can't have all what you call denominations out there, just all come in here and we're all going to just worship today. We're all just going to worship together and get along. No, you're not. Now, you can take a lie and do that. Now, if you're going to believe a lie, preach a lie, then we all can get in the same room. But now, the truth is going to divide. It's going to divide. It's going to cast out. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of that bondwoman. Those who go after salvation by works shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. How many in that day, the Lord said there'll be many in that day, will say to me, Lord, Lord, we preached in your name. We cast out devils. What are they saying? We. It's a we game. We cast out devils. We preached in your name. We did many mighty works. We did. That's works. That's nothing more than a legalistic spirit. That's all it is. It's legalism. We did this. We did that. Not one of them said, Lord, did you not die for me? Did you not put away my sins? Does your righteousness not cover me? Am I not made the righteousness of God in you? Not one of them said that. They said, we did this, we did that. Remember when the Lord said, I was in prison, you visited me not, and this and that? And they said, you know, they were saying, well, when did we ever see you like this and not do it? And the believer said, Lord, when did we ever see it? When did this ever happen? He said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. And they will not be heirs. They might be your moral neighbor. They might be the best neighbor. She may be the best mother that's in town. I'm telling you. And this is where, you know, there's one person comes to my mind that we know, Vicki and I know, and I told Vicki, I said, she would be the hardest person for me to ever tell the gospel to ever sit down and witness to, because she is such an outstanding person. Her character is just, to me, from me being around her, is almost flawless. But yet I know that what she believes is not the gospel. It's just nothing more than we. I know that. But the scripture says it doesn't matter if she's the best mother in town. If she's not born of God, she's going to perish. She's going to perish. If I made the statement concerning this person that she's going to perish, there'd be some people that pull my eyes out. But it's so. It's absolutely so. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman. We're not children of works. We're children of grace, but of the free. That's what he said. We're not of works. We're of grace. We're born of God, born of the power of God, the Spirit of God, the grace of God. The grace of God. I titled the message, The Allegory. The Allegory. All right.